I see what you did there, Brett. Little Killers as we head down the road to Las Vegas. As our NFL preview series continues and training camps have started all over the place, today, actually, the final two teams reported for duty in the National Football League. Levi Edwards, a digital reporter for the Las Vegas Raiders, with a preview on the silver and black. Levi, how's your afternoon?
Going great. You know, it was a very long morning. Woke up about 6:45 to get ready to go to camp. Practice started at 8:30, so I've been up for a while, but I'm really starting to click now, and things are going really good. Just glad to be around football.
Yes, as we're all happy to see the NFL getting back at it with all the videos of all the teams reporting to camp over the last few days.
Levi, just right out of the gates, I work with Jamie Nye. He's a Raiders fan. We should probably just make sure that we say that at the we need to disclose these things.
Yeah, I'm a little bit biased.
You need to keep him in check so he can, you know, the bias won't be too bad.
Ring the bell. Thank you, Levi.
I'm already ordering my Genty jersey, the new running back, by the way. I'm just, I had to retire the Derek Carr one a couple of years ago. Tim Brown and Bo Jackson, I wear those all the time. But what do you think? Is number two Genty a good place to go as the new running back for the Raiders?
Absolutely. Just to also kind of give you a little bit of insight, you said you had the Bo Jackson jersey in retirement. So do I. I am actually from Birmingham, Alabama, which is about 20 minutes away from Bessemer, which Bo Jackson hails from. My dad actually played against Bo Jackson's high school, and you know, when he was in high school. So big Bo Jackson guy, even before I came with the Raiders. He's the greatest athlete to come out of my state.
He's the greatest athlete ever, Levi. The greatest athlete ever. Of all time is Bo Jackson. I will fight anybody on that any day of the week.
Well, you're probably going to win that fight if that's what you're going to, if that's the hill you're going to die on. That's a good hill.
Levi, did you play at all?
Ashton, I did. I played some high school ball way back in the day. I'm an old man now, 28, so.
we chuckle because we are we're on the back nine, as they would say.
I'm just past 28 as well.
Anyways, we distracted him from his Ashton Genty take, the new running back of the Raiders, and the influence he might have on this offense. Go ahead, Levi.
Well, Ashton, I'm not gonna lie to you guys, and you know the team isn't lying. They got Ashton lined up, you know, getting first team reps. He's there a lot, and that's been the case since rookie minicamp. It was the case in OTAs, and it was the case today. He's getting those reps with Geno, and he's getting real acclimated to the offense. Something that I noticed today that I really love with what they're trying to do is, obviously, he is a phenomenal runner. He almost broke Barry Sanders' rushing record last year, and we know that that's something he can do really well. But something that I noticed today is just his ability to, you know, to catch the ball as well. He had some really good numbers as a pass catcher at Boise State that people kind of overlook. So I think within this offense with Chip Kelly, he's not only just going to give him the rock, you know, to feed him out of the backfield, but he wants him to have the ball in open space. And Chip Kelly is all about making sure that he gets his playmakers the ball in open space and let them do their thing and make guys miss. So I think that we're going to see a lot of that out of Ashton. Obviously, a lot of people are going to have to do their place in order to make sure that he can have those one-on-one matchups. But I feel really optimistic about that situation so far. So I'm glad you already got the jersey. I'm glad that I hope it's coming in mail and it looks nice and black for you. And I really do feel like they're going to do everything in their power offensively, you know, from a player standpoint and schematically to make sure he succeeds.
But Levi, Raider Nation, how are they responding to the hiring of Pete Carroll?
I think they're responding to it the way that Pete Carroll has responded to taking on the job, which is with energy and just exuberance. He comes into work, and obviously, and it's not foreign as to what he wants to do. We saw it at USC. We saw it in Seattle. He wants it to be a very competitive environment, but he also wants these guys to have fun because at the end of the day, it's football. It's a child's game. And so he comes with a lot of energy to work. He comes with a lot of passion to work, and he really wants to build this the right way. And so I think a lot of fans can really see that, and they believe in not only what they see from him, but just the track record of what he's already done. And so despite whatever odds are against the Raiders in the roster right now, you can obviously tell that he's trying to build things the right way from a cultural perspective. John Spytek is trying to get in the right mix of guys between, like, that, you know, those wily veterans that come in and have winning, you know, have winning experience, and these new guys that are coming in who are going to be expected to play a lot early. I think Pete is going to do a great job of mixing those two groups of players and building a culture that's sustainable even past the point of while he's the coach we're with the Raiders.
Okay, Levi, the one thing that catches everybody with Pete Carroll is the man is turning 74 this year. And are you taken aback from how much energy he's still cooking with on a day-to-day basis? He looks like he's 50. Sorry, Locker, he looks younger than you do.
I work out.
You know, God rest his soul, my grandfather, he passed when he was 80 a few years ago. But, man, up until the day he died, he had, you know, the same type of energy I see Pete with. My grandfather was still out here working on, you know, 79, 80 years old, still working on cars, doing his thing, moving, no limp, you know, just out and about. And so I'm not surprised by at all. It's really all about the mind and kind of what you can push yourself to do. And Pete Carroll's a guy that just loves life, and he's going to push himself to do whatever he wants to do. And, man, I see him running around on the field faster than I ever could at 73. So, you know, if he still has it in him, and he shows it, and I believe in him. You know, I think age is just a number. And obviously that's some cliche that you hear all the time, and people always say that to make them feel good about not getting old and staying young and all that crap. But you can see it with Pete Carroll. It's not a cliche with him. Age is but a number. And if the results continue to be the results, then he can be 74, 104, 24, I don't care. As long as he wins football games and he sustains that culture, then I don't think people should really look at the number.
Now, Levi, boots on the ground. You've been around Pete. We need a kicks update. Where are we at with the Nikes, the Monarchs?
It's so funny. I actually just tweeted something yesterday. I'm sorry, not tweet. I posted something yesterday. I got a very good look at his shoes, and he has a nice, sweet pair of custom Monarchs that he's rocking. So they're his white usual Air Monarchs, and he has the silver on the Nike. But the cool thing about these is he has the custom Raiders logo on the tongue of the Monarchs.
Hello.
Embroidered.
That's the shoe you need, Jamie.
Oh, that's the ultimate dad shoe for me.
Yeah. I don't know who he's plugged with. I don't know who got it for him. I don't know if Phil Knight came in and said, "Here you go, Pete." You know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how he has those kind of connections, how he's moving, who did it, but it looks fly.
He's hooked up, Levi. He's hooked up.
Yeah.
When you're a Super Bowl champion, you can be. When you're a Super Bowl champ, you can be hooked up like Pete Carroll. We haven't even talked about the quarterback yet. Here we are, already 8 minutes in or so. Geno Smith, when you bring him in along with Pete Carroll, what are your expectations on a Geno-led Raiders team after a quarterback was all over the place the last 2 years without Derek Carr?
The word I look for is continuity. And because you just mentioned Derek Carr, and obviously he's been gone for a few years, but Derek Carr, while he was with the team for, you know, close to 10 years, he was that factor on the team, despite no matter what's going on around the team and who's coming in, who's leaving, what coaches they are, things of that nature. With all the changes, he was there, and you knew that you had kind of like that stable force. And Geno kind of resembles the same thing when you look at him at quarterback, and he kind of seems like a package deal with Pete Carroll. You know, he knows what he's getting as a coach, not only just as a player, but as a leader, as a professional in the National Football League. He knows what he's getting, and he's been able to kind of grow with him as a player and a coach, of just kind of giving him that second chance and being able to see what he can do and grooming him. So it feels like it's just a continuation of a big project that first started in Seattle, and now we can potentially see it truly come to fruition here in Las Vegas. Geno has some of the greatest arm talent I've seen from any quarterback that I've seen in person. And I've seen some great quarterbacks, man. I get to see Patrick Mahomes twice a year. I get to see Herbert twice a year. I've seen Tom Brady play. I've seen Lamar Jackson. I've seen Josh Allen. I've seen a lot of guys live. But Geno Smith, he just has this confidence in his arm and his deep ball. You know, he really believes he can make every throw. And most of the time, he does make a lot of throws. So I've been really thoroughly impressed just with his ability to be able to read defenses and be able to make the right throw and have that confidence in his arm. And the Raiders gave him everything that he needs in order to have that confidence. They drafted a guy who runs a 4.3 40, who's 6'5". You have another guy, Trey Tucker, ran a 4.3 coming out of Cincinnati. You have Brock freaking Bowers, who a lot of people are excited for, who's obviously has turned out to be one of, if not the best tight end in the league after 1 year, which is crazy. So Geno has everything that he needs to be able to succeed. All the Raiders need from him is to be stable and provide continuity and just relief to the rest of the team as a leader.
So, Levi, we've talked about quite a few Raiders pieces that that we're all excited about. I went and looked up Brock's numbers from last year, and my goodness, expectations must be pretty high for him for a second year. Let's touch on the defense a little bit. Is there concerns there, or what are your highlights for the Raiders for 2025 here?
Well, I think, obviously, the biggest concern is going to be the defensive backs room. Obviously, when you look at cornerback and you look at safety. And I don't think that they're bad groups, obviously. I just think that they're very unproven. Outside of Jeremy Chinn and like Lonnie Johnson, you're getting a lot of guys who have a very limited sample of play in terms of what they can provide. You have a lot of real young guys in those two position groups. And Darian Porter, a guy who was a third-round pick out of Ohio State this year, he was getting first-team reps, fourth-round guy. And so it's really going to be interesting to see how that unit works. They signed Jamal Adams yesterday, and I think that that's going to be a great veteran leader for that group, especially considering before they got Jamal Adams, I believe the oldest guy in the secondary was 27, who was Jeremy Chinn. So that's going to be huge. Obviously, the strength of the defense continues to be the defensive line with Max Crosby. Everybody knows what Max can do and how he's the anchor of this defense. And I think a lot of people are really concerned about Christian Wilkins and his status. But despite however things look for Christian Wilkins, I believe that that room is just deep enough to where they can be able to kind of replicate the production of Christian early on in training camp and however long he needs to stay out. A lot of really talented guys like Adam Butler and Jonah Laulu and Zach Carter and Tyree Wilson, first-round pick, getting in some reps in there. Malcolm Kuntz, a guy who had 8 sacks 2 years ago. He's on the other side of Max. So despite however long Christian is going to be out, obviously I think that they're going to be able to really pick up the pace. And then once you do get him back at full strength, then it's just going to make that Raiders defensive line unfair, to be honest with you.
Did Christian have surgery on that foot?
I'm not exactly sure if he had surgery or kind of what the situation was with that. I know he rehabbed it throughout the whole off season, and he's still trying to, you know, come back. He was placed on the PUP list. So I'm not necessarily sure if he had surgery or what the status is on his foot or where he's in recovery.
Okay.
He's obviously still in the building, and he's still around the team. So that's really good. Especially for the young guys who can rely on his experience and his veteran presence. So not sure where things are with that, but I think we'll get some more answers pretty soon.
Finally, were you in the schedule release video? I know they went around the building with all the staff. Were you in that video or no?
I was in the schedule release video.
You were?
I was in the schedule release video, yeah. I was.
Were you a walk-in through the cheerleaders?
No. No, I was a little further into the video. It's funny, my dad was watching it, and he was like, "Man, why weren't you in the video, man? I watched the whole thing." And I was like, "Well, how far did you go in?" And he said, I stopped watching around, like, week 12. And I'm like, "Well, I was in the, like, the week 15 video for the Texans, so you obviously didn't watch all of it." But, I was in the skit for Employee Appreciation Day. I was at the guy at the very beginning of it. I was throwing the ring toss.
Okay. So I basically was throwing the ring toss. Okay. Okay.
Got on there, celebrated, and then Max, before he was about to come out and do the same thing, he just says screw, and he just punted it. So I thought it was pretty funny.
For while you're on, Levi, it was a great chat with you today. Thanks for your time, and enjoy the rest of camp.
Thank you. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you guys.
That is Levi Edwards with the Raiders, digital reporter. Has you covered with the has me covered with the Raiders throughout training camp. As we continue here on the Green Zone, still to come, Joe Robustelli of the Riders on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone as we're gearing up for another game day with the Green Zone on Friday. The Green Zone pregame show at 5 o'clock to get you set for the Riders and the Edmonton Elks at Mosaic Stadium. And it's a pleasure to be joined by an outstanding player now for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, getting his chance in the receiving core, making a name for himself in the CFL. Joe Robustelli joining us on the fan line. Joe, thanks for your time this afternoon. How's it going today?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Oh, we're going to start. We played the nickname game with Tommy Stevens. I think it's now Stone Cold because he's picked Stone Cold's theme as his first down.
Disappointing. Song. Tommy Tsunami. No. Joe was so Pass. Good.
Pass. I like Stone Cold Tommy Stevens. But a caller called up Joe and said, Robustelli.
Was it Dave?
It was Dave. Is playing. And he referenced your career because a lot has been made of your journey to the Canadian Football League and the Riders. And it's like you find a coat and you find money. He's like,
old coat, haven't worn it in a long time, Joe. And you put it on. Maybe you're going out with the girlfriend or the wife, and you look in the pocket and there's $20.
And he said, found money. And we went, oh, that might be a good nickname for Joe Robustelli.
Really good nickname.
What do you think? Found money?
I'm not going to lie. I really like that one. That's nice. Kind of like a hidden gem, you know?
Yes.
Good one. I've never heard that one before, but you know, whoever came up with that, I appreciate that.
I think it was Dave in West Kelowna who made that reference, who said he's like found money. And so I was like, that sounds like a good nickname for Joe Robustelli. Because it's been a journey, like out of football. And then you go to some CFL camps and you go back to college, you play flag. Could you ever imagine that you'd be here as a pro ball player, hauling in passes from Trevor Harris and making a name for yourself in the Canadian Football League?
Yeah, I think at first, you know, when I started this journey, and I would actually dream about being in these situations, like being on the radio with you guys after having a good game and stuff like that. Obviously, you have to be delusional. So, yeah, I did really envision myself being able to get to this point, but there's also obviously self-doubt, you know, when you're training for a year, 2 years, nothing's really happening. So, you know, being in this position, it's everything to me, and all the hard work I've put in and everything, it's definitely crazy to be where I am right now.
Joe, it's interesting, especially in football, when you're practicing with a team, you're doing your reps, you're preparing for the possibility of cracking that starting lineup, and then your opportunity comes, but it's on the heels of somebody losing an opportunity. How do you justify that or rectify that in your own mind? And you still have to be excited, though, about the chance to get in there.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's kind of the brutal part about this business. You know, you come, like, if you're in my position, you come into the wide receiver room and all the guys take you under their wing. You know, all the guys who've been playing for a while, they know that I haven't had much experience, so they're all trying to help me out, you know, get me acclimated to the game. And, you know, you create really good relationship with them, like with Shafe and Sam, Keyshawn, Depp, just everybody, you know, they've all become really good friends of mine. And you kind of know, as me being a practice squad guy, it's like the only way that I'm going to play is if somebody goes down, and I would never wish that upon anybody, but that's just kind of the name of the game. So when it does happen, obviously you're there for them, you care for them, but you got to lock it and be ready to go.
Joe Robustelli joining us of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Who was the spark, Joe, that got you back to football? Like, was there one person in your life that went, come on, Joe, you got to do this, man?
Yeah, one of my buddies who I played fraternity flag football with, he was the quarterback of the team, and he would, like, and there was a lot of people who would just be like, dude, you need to walk on to the team at FSU. I didn't have the grades, I didn't really do too well, I was up there in school, but there were a lot of people, but he was the first one to be like, dude, listen, like, I played high school, like, one of my really good friends, he's in college playing, he's probably going to go to the NFL, like, dude, you got some real talent, like, this is something you should really think about doing. And, you know, I always loved the game, so, you know, when you get that kind of feedback at first, you don't really know. And then, you know, I kind of had a lot of time on my hands with COVID. It was kind of like, you know what, let's just start training and kind of see what happens. And then another one of my buddies, his name's Andrew Ward, love the guy, he's been one of my best friends since I was 7 years old. We would go to the field together. You know, people from my hometown who knew that I was working out and training, you know, you get maybe made fun of, like, oh, is this really going to work out? What are you doing? Whatever. He was one of the guys. He'd be like, dude, I believe in you. If you need me, I'll go to the field with you. I'll throw the ball with you whenever you want. Like, he was the one, like, pushing me to go to the trials and stuff like that. He was like, dude, I really believe in you. So having people like that, you know, support you means the absolute world.
Joe, one of the conversations that we've had more than a couple of times, Jamie and I, on the Green Zone is there's a lot of talk about the character of this team and what you guys have built, this culture. But there's also a kind of an ongoing conversation, especially this year, the last month or so, about who the leaders are in the room. And it doesn't always have to be the loudest guy in the room, but who have you got in this group right now that you think is, I don't know, out front as far as leaders, even if it's just a quiet leader?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's obviously different leaders in the locker room. There's people who are going to give the speeches. There's the people who are just going to, you know, they're going to be a leader by the way that they play. Like somebody like Trevor, obviously he's a quarterback. He's going to be a guy giving a speech. There's certain guys who are going to come up. They're going to fire you up. And then there's somebody like Rolly. Rolly doesn't say too much, but obviously everybody sees how he plays on the field. And when somebody's making plays like that, they're putting their body on the line. Like that fires you up to play. So people like Rolly, Trev, you know, Keyshawn, Sam. Sam's a guy who, you know, if you go watch the film, he's out there blocking his butt off, even when he doesn't have the ball in his hands. So that inspires somebody like me. Like if seeing Sam, somebody who's putting up big numbers, he's still out there blocking his tail off. It's like, listen, if he can do it, I can do it too.
How important is that to see it? Like Sam is a heck of an athlete, heck of a receiver, but sacrifice around the building. Like even last year, I was at an event. I think it was, I'm trying to remember, it was Keegan Schaefer Baker and AJ Olette who were breaking down film. And there was one play and they stopped the film and said, look at that touchdown run by AJ Olette. And AJ's like, roll that back. And he circled a Joe. And he's like, watch this block. Yeah. And he blew somebody up. Like in the run game, how important are you guys? And how much pride do you take maybe pancaking a guy?
That's something that, you know, Coach Mueller, you know, instills in us immediately, you know, coming in. It's like there's, I would assume, certain wide receivers out there who aren't really trying to block, but that's something they let us know immediately. If you're going to play on this team, you're going to block. And it's something you're going to be good at, and it's something you're going to fall in love with. And so, you know, obviously, like the running backs, they all know that we're out there to block for them. So, you know, when it's their turn to block in the scheme and we're running routes and we need them in protection, they're going to do the same thing for us that we do to them. And that's just why we preach family. We all play for each other. It's not where we're not playing for ourselves. We're 1-12 out there. Like, we're playing for each other. We're a family.
I've actually noticed it quite a bit with AJ this year. That when he hasn't got the rock, he's actually playing, like, he's playing a very smart game and helping, you know, give Trevor a little bit more time out there. Will, we always do this when we bring somebody on. We're very curious about Corey Mace and his song and dance routines. Has he pulled one out yet this season, Joe?
This year, no, but you'll catch him in practice. They'll play a song that he enjoys, and you'll catch him in the middle of the field when nobody's maybe really looking. We're on the other side of the field, and he's getting jiggy and doing his thing. But
jiggy.
He hasn't hit one in the locker room or in a meeting or anything like that yet, but I'm sure he will.
You guys, I just have a request. One day, what song was it? Can you see the rain or something like that he did last year?
Yeah.
Can you throw that into a practice song? I'd love to see his reaction if you guys threw that into the playlist at a practice day.
Just not Wednesdays.
Yeah, just not Wednesdays. We can't do it on Whiteboard Wednesday.
Joe Robustelli with us here on the Green Zone. Curiosity, what the heck did you guys do for 2.5 hours during that smoke delay in the locker room?
Yeah. Was there a card game? What's going on? A little dice?
I'm going to be honest with you. It felt longer than 2.5 hours. I felt like I was in there for 9. But, I mean, you just stay locked in. You try and stay locked in, but, you know, you play music, you know, joke with the guys, go over the playbook, hang out a little bit, and, you know, there's a lot of ups and downs in there. So you really try and stay locked in, because if you don't, I mean, you go out there and you're flat-footed, you'll get killed. So it was brutal. It was brutal, but, you know, you make the most of it. You try and stay locked in, and the game didn't happen, it was what it was. But, you know, when we knew that the game really wasn't going to happen, there was probably like an hour we were playing music, we were all singing, dancing, having fun, making the most of it. But it was long. It was definitely long.
Joel, the popularity of Flag, especially in this province, in Saskatchewan, is just, it's exploded in the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And you got your start, right, in Flag. Do you follow it, or are you curious about the development of it? Like when it got added to the Olympic Games in 2028 in Los Angeles, like where do you, like, where is your, you know, sort of, not so much commitment, but where are you with that sport?
I still follow all the pages. I still follow the guys that, you know, I played with briefly. I didn't really get to create too many relationships because it was a short stint. But when I worked or tried out for the team and made the team, it still wasn't even in the Olympics yet. It was something that they were discussing. They're like, listen, we're on the brink of it happening. And, you know, I'm really happy to see that they got it in there because it's a fun sport. It's a sport that a lot of people want to watch. And, you know, I think in the 2028 Olympics, it'll definitely be very interesting to see how it works.
Okay, I'm curious though. Did you see the highlights from the Bryson Wright, the 14-year-old from Flag Football over the weekend?
He is not 14.
Yeah, that catch was insane. The catch was insane. I'll just leave it at that. That may have been the best catch I've ever seen in my life.
It was wild.
He jumped like 15, 16 feet. One hand.
He jumped over three kids. He got pushed. He was getting pushed around before he took flight. And still managed to catch the ball, palming it one hand. It was an incredible catch.
Then he had the energy to do a backflip.
Sure.
yeah,
the backflip. I didn't see that. That's insane. But, you know, when you score a touchdown, make a play like that, you just kind of see red and just kind of do whatever. So I believe it.
With your life and your family, football runs deep, the football roots with your grandfather, Hall of Famer Andy Robustelli. I know he died when you were 13 or 14. How much influence has ball been on your family?
Yeah, it's everything. You know, we're diehard Giants fan. Every Sunday or Monday or whenever they play, you know, we're all glued to the TV. My grandfather actually had 9 kids. So on one side of the family, we have, I think it's like 32 cousins. So we're all diehard fans. Sports runs through the veins of the family. And, you know, I'm just happy. Like, they've all been texting me, like, how proud they are and stuff like that. So It's been awesome. But, yeah, we live, breathe, eat, sleep football, man.
How do you feel about the Giants this year with Russell Wilson?
I think they're going to be pretty good. We're going to have a really good defense. Russell's coming in. We got some good. We got Malik Nabers. I think we'll be pretty decent this year. I'm excited to see what happens.
All right. I more healthy maybe than the other New York team with Fields, but we'll see how that one goes. Joe, it was a pleasure chatting with you today here on the Green Zone. Can't wait until Friday night.
And
by the way, just so you know, the smoke forecast is good for Friday. Just want to pass that along to you, just perfect, for the air quality. And there you go.
I appreciate you guys. It was a pleasure talking to you.
That was fun, Joe. Thank you.
That is Joe Robus.
How's it going?
Joe Robustelli, Saskatchewan Rough Riders, here on the Green Zone. Found Money. Think you like that nickname?
That's a great nickname.
Way to go, Dave, on the fan line who called that one in. Coming up, our game of the night here on the Green Zone, and then it's a double take with Double D. He's been grading the Rough Riders. I think it was a B Corey Mace gave the Riders. What grade would you give the Riders through the first little bit of the season? Daryl's going to weigh in at 5:05 right here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.